KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimmigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Adaga Tribe of King Cove is looking for a tribal administrator, a part-time or full-time IGAP assistant, and a solid waste recycling technician. The Belkoski Tribe of King Cove is looking for a part-time IGAP assistant, a full-time Belkoski Environmental Program assistant, and a part-time pull tab sales clerk. EATS is looking for a behavior health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. And today is February 20th, 2025. Happy birthday to Leslie Cabot. Happy birthday to Boston March. And happy birthday to Hayden Dre Johansson. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day. It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, gale warning today. Today, northeast winds 35 knots, seas 12 feet with rain. Tonight, northeast winds 30 knots, seas 11 feet with rain. And Friday, east winds 20 knots, seas 7 feet with rain. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, north winds 30 knots, diminishing to 20 in the afternoon. Seas 12 feet with rain. Tonight, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 8 feet. And Friday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 6 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory today. Today, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 8 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 7 feet. And Friday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 6 feet. Port Hyden and Nelson Lagoon, today, northeast winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet with rain and snow. Tonight, variable winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet with rain. And Friday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, today, variable winds 10 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. And Friday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, cloudy. A chance of rain and snow in the morning, then a chance of rain and snow in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 30s to lower 40s. Variable winds 10 miles an hour. Tonight, rain and snow likely in the evening, then a chance of rain and snow after midnight. Snow accumulation can be up to 1 inch. Lows in the upper 20s to upper 30s. Variable winds 10 miles an hour. And Friday, cloudy with a chance of rain and snow. Highs in the lower 30s to lower 40s. Variable winds 10 miles an hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 6:15 a.m. at 6 feet 9 inches. A low at 2:15 at 1 foot 8 inches. A high at 9:32 p.m. at 4 feet. And a low tonight at 11:50 at 3 feet 10 inches. Your sun rose at 8:52 this morning. And your sun will set at 6:59, giving us 10 hours and 7 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The maximum harvest level for Sitka's commercial herring fishery has been reduced, despite recent increases in the biomass. State fishery managers point to research from Canada that suggests more caution is needed in setting harvest rates than the 20% target used up until now. The Alaska Board of Fisheries adopted the new strategy to mixed reviews at its latest meeting in Ketchikan. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Calls for more conservative management of Sitka's commercial herring fishery have come to the Alaska Board of Fisheries before, many times. For years, those requests have come from subsistence harvesters who say the management of the fishery has made it harder to access herring eggs, generally to no avail. But this year, two proposals to reduce the harvest level and raise the threshold for fishing originated within the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Based on state data, Sitka's herring population is thriving. So board member Tom Carpenter wanted to know, why now?
You know, if the overall biomass and the GHL that have been set the last 5 years were just barely above the threshold of 25,000 tons to open the fishery, I could totally understand doing something like this. But I have just not figured out why the department is bringing this proposal forward right now.
For the past two decades and more, ADF&G allowed for commercial seiners to harvest up to 20% of the mature herring population in Sitka Sound. Recent data out of Canada suggests a 20% harvest rate may be too high for some herring stocks. So state scientists want to reduce the maximum harvest level to 15%. ADF&G fisheries biometrician Sherry Dressel said the department wanted to take extra precautions until its own scientists could confirm the Canadian research.
And so I fully recognize that it looks incongruous to recommend this now when the population is doing well. However, part of the research has suggested that herring can switch productivity states quickly, and the analysis, if we did it, even to do a partial analysis similar to what's been done in British Columbia, would take at least another two board cycles.
The state's two proposals would lower the harvest target and raise the biomass threshold to conduct a commercial fishery. Both were met with mixed enthusiasm. Raymond May is a seiner in the commercial fishery. He said he appreciates ADF&G and trusts the model they use to manage the fishery, but cast doubt on the data from Canada.
I'm trusting their science, but I'm not trusting the harvest rate using data coming out of Canada. Canada used to have five fisheries. They're now down to one. That's not the place I'm looking to use science from, if it's my opinion.
Others said it wasn't conservative enough, and traditional harvester Tom Gamble of Sitka pointed to the state's overestimate of the mature herring population in 2024, which underscored the need for more conservative management.
We're not saying that they're bad scientists, but some of the numbers may have been skewed enough. When we read in a newspaper that the fishermen could have targeted 40% of their original GHL under an error, we have to pay attention to that, because Sitkans, Alaskans, cannot afford errors in science. And so as we speak to threshold levels and other strategies for conservation, we can only hope that they work.
Dressel called 2024 a perfect storm of conditions that led to the state overestimating the herring population by nearly double. But Dressel added that the state's model accounts for errors like this. She knew that the 2024 forecast was more uncertain than most, and fisheries managers had that information going into the season.
We gave a sensitivity analysis which said if our data was wrong by this amount and in these ways, this would be your forecast. So the So the management had that information going into the season.
While Saners only caught a fraction of what they were allocated in 2024, Board Chair Merrick Carlson Van Dort said she remained concerned about the possibility of the perfect storm Dressel described.
I'm concerned that there could be an increased frequency in perfect storm conditions, if for no other reason than just the variability in the environmental conditions and the rapid changes that we see in that space. So again, I think this just kind of underscores my support and comfort level with going forward with a more conservative management scheme.
Van Dort was one of five board members who voted in favor of ADF&G's proposals to modify the harvest rate and threshold for Sitka's commercial herring fishery. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Participants in a popular subsistence fishery near Sitka will have an edge in coming seasons. The Alaska Board of Fish last week approved new regulations allowing the use of seine gear and gill nets in Readout Bay when at least 40,000 sockeye have cleared the falls and made it into the lake. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has this report.
In a state full of unique riparian systems, Readout Lake is pretty unique. It's 9 feet above sea level, but quite deep, so the bottom of the lake is saltwater and the top is fresh. It supports a relatively small but robust population of sockeye and a large population of Sitkins who make the 17-mile skiff ride every summer to the falls to dip net for salmon. But the characteristics that make Readout unique also make it fragile. Calvin Kespit with the Southeast Subsistence Regional Advisory Council explained that there is such a thing as too many fish.
Readout Lake, the last couple of years have had a huge surplus of sockeye salmon. According to the numbers that I have here, in 24, there was 210,000 sockeye through the weir, and the weir is above all the fisheries, so this is after all the harvest has been taken. In 23, it was 148,000. In 2019, it was 56,000. 2018, it was 71,000. This is above the optimal escapement goals of 7 to 25,000 sockeye salmon.
So Proposal 135, which would allow subsistence harvesters to use seine and gill nets, is more than just a way to support local human diets. It's also a management tool to keep escapements at optimal levels. Heather Bauscher, who formerly chaired the Sitka Fish and Game Advisory Committee and now serves on the Petersburg AC, filled in some of this detail for the board.
It's pretty unique. It's a meromictic lake. It doesn't turn over like a normal freshwater system. There's a long history of having fertilized that lake to help support the sockeye, but now the sockeye returns are considerable to the point that they're worried about too many fish coming back and crashing the system.
The Sitka Ranger District of the U.S. Forest Service has been fertilizing Readout Lake for the past two decades or more, and funding for the program, now more than ever, is unreliable. All the more reason to keep the number of fish entering the lake at or below its carrying capacity of 25,000. The Board of Fish saw wisdom in this, but had concerns over execution. The daily harvest limits at Readout usually start low at 10 or 25 fish per permit holder at the beginning of the summer, and then increase to 100 per day in July. Board member Jared Godfrey from Eagle River was concerned that harvesters would blow right through these limits if they were allowed to use seines or gillnets.
You can't control your harvest level with gillnet or seine. You get what's in the water, what you get. And what if it's an over-harvest? That's my concern. It far exceeds your subsistence. Now your mortality rate of throwing fish back, obviously some of them will survive if you get them back in, and the weight of the bag doesn't kill them.
This has been a problem in some other sockeye systems where nets are already allowed, and several permit holders join forces to seine and lose count of their fish. Keenan Sanderson with the Ketchikan, Tlingit, and Haida Community Council said Readout harvesters would almost certainly use small beach seines or similar gear, and that they'd get the hang of it.
All you have to do is just let down the rings and let the fish swim over the corks once you know you have what you can actually keep for your possession limit. So in terms of seining, I don't think there's a huge issue with mortality unless you're being very reckless with it.
Other board members expressed concerns over possible user conflict as the base of the falls can become crowded with subsistence dipnetters and sport fishermen. The proposal was amended with language that would restrict the use of seine and gillnets to beyond 100 yards seaward of the falls. That settled it for board members like Tom Carpenter of Cordova.
Understanding that this gives more opportunity, there's no conservation concern associated with it. The use of a seine, although it may be a new tool for a lot of people, I think that it's the ability to wrap up too many fish and release them is fairly easily done. So I'll be supporting it.
The Board of Fish passed Proposal 135 unanimously. The new regs allowing the use of seine and gillnets in the subsistence sockeye fishery at Readout Lake go into effect this summer. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
I do. 'cause he looks so fine up on that hill. They tell me he was lonely, he's lonely still. Those days are gone forever, over a long time ago. Oh yeah. Platform. The man gave me the news. He said, "You must be joking, son. Where did you get those shoes? Where did you get those shoes?" Well, I've seen them on the TV, the movie show. They say the times are changing, but I just don't know. These things are gone. We'll be right back.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring two-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.
Up all in lace, go in style. Late at night, a big old house gets lonely. I guess every form of refuge has its price. And it breaks her heart to think her love is only given to a man. So she tells him she must go out for the evening to comfort an old friend who's feeling down. But he knows where she's going and she's leaving. She is headed for the cheating side of town.
You can't.
About a boy she knew in school. Did she get?
Same old girl you used to be. You can't hide. KSDP, 8:30 a.m., Sandpoint, Alaska, K20, 1DA, 88.1 FM, King Cove.
Your back, I can see you had your fun, but darling, can't you see my signals turn from green to red? And with you, I can see a traffic jam straight up ahead. You're just right, so hard to get through to you.
It's impossible.
side. There is no reason for you to hide. It's so hard for me staying here all alone when you could be taking me.
Over time, I realized I was becoming her sole caregiver. I wanted to support her as much as I could to ensure she was well taken care of. But over time, the stress and the exhaustion of full-time caregiving became too much. As a caregiver, I knew I was already at risk for health challenges, but I heard the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association might be able to help me find respite relief. APIA supported me and my mom by enrolling us in the respite program. The program paid for a respite worker of my choosing to come in and provide me relief. With this support in place, I was able to better take care of myself. The respite worker came to my mom's apartment and cooked her dinner while I took a break. It became a way for me to recharge, rest, and ensure I was taking care of myself so I could continue to care for my mom without burning out. Caregiving is selfless and stressful at times, but APIA gave me the break I needed through the respite program.
For eligibility information, please reach out to the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association Elder Care Services at 907-276-2700 or toll free at 1-800-478-2742.